Welcome, welcome, director and writer Savannah Lee. Thank you so much for joining us on Black Ink Cinema Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do this.
Black Ink Cinema is excited as we celebrate everything Black cinema. And so I was so excited to see that I'd get a chance to watch Earth Mama, which is such a beautiful film. And it seems like a love letter to single mothers. Is that correct?
Definitely. It's a love letter. Yeah, to mothers, you know, that are kind of dealing with so much and trying to maintain their sense of self-worth while also trying to look after their children or get their children back from the system. So it is a love letter, most definitely.
Yeah, honestly, it was just so beautiful to watch. Since you are the writer and director, do you want to tell the people a little bit more about what Earth Mama is about?
Yeah, the film is about Gia, who is a single mother with two children in the foster care system and one child on the way. And she's kind of battling the obstacles put before her by Child Protective Services. And she's trying to figure out what she's going to do with her unborn child.
And I think it was so interesting to see that side of things. I think the rest of us, unless you've been in the system or have been part of it, you're completely unaware. This is based on the award-winning The Heart Still Hums, right?
Yes.
Which is about five mothers talking about their experience, a cycle through homelessness, drug addiction, and fighting for their children. Most importantly.
Yeah, the first draft of this film was kind of initially based on my relationship to my sister and her birth mother and this kind of yearning I had even as a child to understand a parent that can't look after you or isn't looking after you. And so that was kind of where the initial feeling came from. And then after that, it was about kind of using that short doc as almost emotional research for the feature length and kind of following these women and letting them just speak and share their stories and their experiences. And gave the film breadth and it became kind of a collective voice after that.
Yeah. I was actually going to go on to ask if you had any personal reason or connection to adoption, and of course you've spoken about your sister, which I loosely read upon, but I just wanted to hear your elaboration on it, because I think it is such a unique experience that only people going through it can talk about it.
I mean, it's interesting because it had such a pivotal, you know, impact on me as a 16-year-old when my mom adopted my sister. And I got to meet her birth mother. And that really shifted so much inside of me, because I was an only child before that. And then all of a sudden you get the responsibility of not just being an older sibling, but being, you know, 16 years older than your sibling. But I think it kind of, you know, my sister means so much to me. She's such a big part of my life. And so that was kind of like definitely a big reason why I set out on this journey. But then in that documentary, I just met so many mothers, some of which, had given their children up for adoption. And they were kind of feeling this yearning to be with their children, even when their children aren't around, just like a physiological effect of motherhood, you know? Beyond everything else, there's like a bodily effect, and I think that was really important to me to kind of incorporate into the film. And and other people who were trying to fight for their kids to come back into their own home from the foster care system in America, and kind of trying to figure out, well, is adoption a better solution? I'm not sure, you know. And so there's so many layers that kind of I experienced, not only in my own experiences, but also with all these other families from the documentary as well.
Yeah. the individual monologues of the different women, the mum group, I call it the mum group, I'm not sure if that's what it was. What a strong intro into the film and the themes throughout the movie, which lends perfectly into the opening scene with Gia visiting her children, which was so emotional and heartbreaking scene. Was that important for you to show that straight off at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, it was important to have mothers kind of sharing their experiences from their own words, you know, and hearing it from them. And so oftentimes, you know, well, for that particular scene, I gave a lot of people like pieces of a script. And then I would say, is there anything else you want to share? And a lot of times people would just share their everything, even though I was not expecting all of that to come out. And Tiffany, who opens the film, is just so powerful. And when I heard it on the day of filming, I just knew how important and significant it is, not just as like a mother who is telling us, like, she's telling me, you'll never be able to walk in, you know, my shoes. She's telling every audience member, you'll never be able to walk in my shoes, you know. And that's like hits you as an audience member, because it's like, that's what we go to the cinema for. We think we're going there to walk in somebody else's shoes, you know. And she says, no, you can't do that. And I think that's so profound. But she does say that, you can walk beside me. And like, that's what she needs, is people to walk beside her. And I find that to be so powerful and symbolic for not just, you know, this movie, this particular circumstance, but just life, you know, like we think about what's going on in the world. And we don't know what people are going through, you know, halfway around the world, but we can try to empathize and feel for them and feel with them and stand beside them when they need something. And that's what this film is about as well.
I thought that was really important for her to say, that you will never understand, because often we say, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
And you don't know how somebody feels, because you're not in their shoes, you're not in their experience. So I just felt like that hit straight to the gut for me. And I was like, yeah, it's absolutely true. You can empathize, like you said, but you'll never really know how that person is feeling.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful to acknowledge also everyone's, you know, unique experience, and acknowledge that we can't just pretend to know everything, but we can feel. Yeah, like we can't pretend to know what that's like, but like we can really sit down and listen, you know, and really listen to people and hold their hand when they're going through stuff, you know. And I think that's like a really, it's like a statement on how to be a kind-hearted human being. And Tiffany just said it, you know, off the cuff, like it wasn't scripted or anything.
I received the message loud and clear. it was also nice to see the male voice, the male adoption voice, like them speak about their experience as well. Was that a conscious decision, or was that just something?
Well, that came quite late in the writing process, because we were casting at the time, and I didn't have many men in the script, because I really struggle with writing men, because I haven't had any men in my life, you know, growing up. And so it was all women, like everybody. And so I was really excited to make a script like that, because I was like, that's how I was brought up, like surrounded by women. And and so when I wrote the first drafts, it was what it was. But then I met these two men who connected to the story, one of which had spent 10 years, you know, in prison and was fresh out. And he was in the foster care system when he was, you know, before he went in. And now he's out trying to figure it out by himself. And he's sharing what that feels like what kind of trauma he's had to live with from from being in the foster care system. And then the other guy was kind of describing what it felt like to break away from his parent at a time, you know, and what it was like to be pulled away from his mother, you know. And I think those, when I heard their stories in the casting sessions, I realized that that voice is really important for this film, because we see Gia's, you know, little children that are very young, like 7 years old. But we don't get to see what kind of impact that might have on them as adults. And they're not kind of an age where they're articulating every emotion and feeling. A lot of it's just read in silence. And so I realized how important it was for those male figures, those older male figures, to have a voice in this film as well, on all of those layers. So,
I was going to ask, because, you know, some of the stories were so, it seemed so genuine and so authentic. And I was like, are they all actors, or are these real people just like telling their experience? Because it just came across real with everybody.
Yeah. It was very like honest. A lot of the people are new actors. They've never acted before, but they were eager to, you know, step into those shoes and give the film everything they have in their body, and also share their experiences. Not everyone gets like a platform or a space to give a public, you know, speech. Like the woman that opens the film has been telling me for years that she wants to do public speaking. Like, she wants to share everybody her journey, but she doesn't know how to do it. And so in a way, this film is like her ability to do that around the world, you know? So it is a mixture of actors and new actors, but it was about kind of finding that balance in those spaces where people could put some of themselves into the film. For example, like Tia No More, this is her first time acting, but she has a whole life of experience to kind of draw from. And she's also a rapper. So she has like an element of performance that she's kind of been experiencing and practicing and doing. So while she is a new actor, she kind of doesn't feel like a new actor because of that kind of experience in the performance space.
And talking about Tia, who gave such a beautiful, soft and elegant performance, which I felt carried the story and the pace throughout watching the film. There were moments when I was just like lost in her, like lost in her journey, and I could almost feel what she was feeling. Seeing how hard her life is, and
I agree. I think she does an incredible job of doing this kind of restrained performance at times, but there's so much going on inside of her, which is how a lot of us feel, you know. A lot of the times we want to say something, we want to shout, we want to vocalize our opinions, but we have to hold it back just in order to not hurt our situation. And that's a really tough thing, I think, like, but a very relatable thing. And I think Tia does it really, really beautifully.
Absolutely. And of course, she's a rapper. Did she find, in your opinion, did you feel like she found it easy or harder to transition from rapper to actor, or?
Yeah, well, I think she was in an interesting space when she did this film, because she had just, first of all, we had the pandemic. So she had spent time away from like performance on stage, and she also had just had a child a year prior. So she had taken kind of not time off of writing or anything like that, but kind of just she was in a different space, you know. And I think that gave way to her finding this like new voice within her that's always been there, this intuitive voice that's always been there. But in the form of acting. And I don't think it was easy, but I think she had places to draw from. Like, she was training to become a doula at the same time, you know. There was all these cool. she was breastfeeding while still on set, you know? So she was like, there was so many things she was juggling and drawing from, and in a way that helped her performance in a lot of ways. But in other ways, it made it that much more difficult, you know?
And seeing how hard her life was, Gia's life was, and her contemplating adoption, you see the representations of Trina and Carmen as like different sides of which way she should go. I thought that was really well executed as well, in terms of like how we were going to see that, because I can't even imagine putting myself in somebody's shoes like that and trying to juggle and draw from exactly what's the right decision to do. And so I just thought that was really well done, because it's from two different people that clearly had the best interest for her.
Yeah.
But were coming at different angles.
Yeah, I think I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think those characters are people that kind of are specific to this circumstance, you know, but they're also what those people that we all have in our lives, some of which sometimes they're helping, sometimes they're hurting. And so sometimes you're trying to figure out which one it is. And sometimes your best friend is preaching to you, but they're doing the opposite thing, you know? And I think that all of that was really important to me, was having that sense of community amongst the women and the mothers between one another.
I think as somebody, I've gone through something similar, and it's not often you kind of see like that depiction, and I've often wondered, like, and put myself in my birth mother's shoes and been like, wow, that must have been a very difficult decision for you.
Yeah.
Initially, as a child, you're angry. You're just thinking, you know, you didn't want me, or you've abandoned me, or all these things. And then as you grow up and you become a woman or a young man, and you're starting to put yourself in that position, and you're just like, well, it must have been very extreme for you to decide this is the best option for me.
Yeah,
which must have been so difficult.
Yeah, I think I think how you've described that, I think, is really important. Like, that's kind of the journey that I went on as well, you know, not having a parent, one of my parents around ever, you know. And yeah, you're right that you go through all these waves of emotions, like, did they not love me, you know? Did they how could they do that to me? How could they never be there? And then you're also kind of like, what did they go through, especially when you hit that age that they had you, you know? You're like, what was their life like at that moment? Why did they make that decision, or why were they forced into that decision, or whatever it was? And I think for me, what's really interesting as a filmmaker is to look at those characters and those people that have to make really difficult decisions, or are forced into making really difficult decisions, that we're oftentimes like very quick to judge, you know. A mother that does this is easy to blame, you know. And it's easy to demonize her and to hate her as a child, you know. But then the tough part as a child is that we also love those people, even if they hurt us. Yeah. And that's also inherent in us, even if we never even met them, you know. And I think there's something healing about kind of, I don't want to say forgiveness, because maybe that's not for everybody, but like maybe just trying to understand.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was my healing journey. So I appreciate when these stories are being told. And there was a heavy layer of like substance abuse in this. Why did you put that in the film? Why was that important for Gia's story?
I think that kind of tapping back to what I just said, in that like it's so easy to demonize a pregnant mother who has, you know, substance abuse problems or issues going on in their lives, you know, and I don't want us to just like say, oh, that's bad, like let's just hate on this woman. And that's what we kind of all oftentimes do, is we're just like, how could they do that, you know? They're a horrific person, and like why is it so easy to do that, but we why can't we just try to understand their world, their mindset, what has happened to them before this moment, you know, what our system has put them through. And and I think that was like really important to me. It's like, it's a difficult thing to get an audience to kind of empathize, or at least attempt to empathize, with this sort of mother dealing with substance abuse issues. But I think that's why it's important, because we just don't tell it. We don't tell that story in a way that's like sensitive to the mother. We always think about the child, which is incredible. I love the children as well, but I also think we need to have some care for our mothers as well.
Yeah. I think it reflects as well with what you said earlier about where the world is, and leading with compassion rather than just, you know, good guy, bad guy kind of attitude, and empathy and understanding. And I just feel like it is important to tell all of the sides of the story. So I think that was awesome. One of my favorite visuals is of Gia walking in the woods, naked, pregnant, everything. That was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Oh.
Do you have a favorite visual of the film?
Oh man, there's a few that really resonate with me. There's one at the hospital, and I don't want to give it away, but there's one moment at the hospital that really hits me. There's a couple moments at the hospital that really hit me, and I didn't realize how significant like visual storytelling could be. You know, the way you can, there can be no words being said, but like the way you are, you orchestrate the kind of blocking of characters, how they move in and out of frames, and what like our lead character is left with, think is like a really significant thing in cinema. And what I've learned, like it kind of taught me more about the power of cinema, you know, and not just like written word, because I love reading people's personal journeys or watching a documentary, but like sometimes in narrative you can do this like incredible thing where you can orchestrate the timing and the movement of people and the places so that you can really feel the emotion in a different way. And I think this film taught me a lot about that.
Yeah, you spoke about the hospital scene when she gives birth and the foster family come. It was very deep and emotional and sad and happy, like all at the same time.
Yeah.
Was that the idea, to show the conflict of emotions?
Yeah, of exactly. Involved? Exactly. And like how, you know, as an adoptive mother, how do you be like, how are you in that space? Because on the one
hand, it's so awkward.
It's awkward. It's like you want to be happy, but you also want to be sensitive, but you also probably came into the situation with a whole heap of, you know, emotional trauma that you're dealing with, and you want to create space and not be too much. It's like so many mixed emotions. And I think that's really interesting, is like, how do you know when to speak, when to be quiet, when to comfort, when to let go, you know? And that's like, that's really human to me, is like, we get, I don't know, there's so many experiences I've had where I just didn't know how to be, and I'm stuck in this kind of place of not doing anything.
I'm awkward all the time.
Yeah, and so I think yeah, that a lot of those emotions felt really powerful for me, as a viewer and as a creator in the scene, just being there in the space while they were kind of acting was really fascinating to me.
Yeah. A little nostalgic moment for me was the Mood Rings, which was huge when I was younger. Like, that was the thing. I was obsessed with them. Why did you add this in the movie? Because then I was like, oh, is this not set now? Is this set way back when?
It was set in the kind of mid-thousands, because this was like a nostalgic moment for me, or time in history. I also didn't want to include too many phones and computers, which would be kind of heavily involved now. But mood rings are this like crazy symbol. Like, we all used to be obsessed with it, you know? And like, for some reason, it would tell us how we're feeling. I don't know why that's so exciting to us. Like, we should be
able to. Someone else to tell me how.
Yeah, tell me how I'm feeling. But it also created this, like, what I liked about it, it was a way when they're apart for her to try to understand what her kids are feeling when they're not speaking, you know, and when she can't see them. And I don't know. I think about that a lot. Like, how do you... It's that same thing, just like the children are trying to understand their mother that's not around. Like, the mother or the parent who's not around their kids might not know how to connect with their child, you know? And so in that distance, they're trying to figure out how do I learn how my children are coping. And for Gia, it's just like a simple little thing, but it's mood rings, you know?
Yeah. Going back to your amazing cast, you have the legends, Joaquin Woodbine and Erica Alexander. Like, how was it working with them?
Yeah, they're amazing. I mean, Joaquin is amazing because he, you know, has a small role in this film, but he doesn't allow it to be a small role. You know, it's a really important role because it's really the only father figure in this film, you know? And so he's symbolic. And he's very symbolic in this film, and he's also he's carrying the weight of being this, like, this man in Gia's kind of world that she sees him. He's seemingly a great dad, but also there's distance there, and maybe a bit of like fear of fathers in general, you know? And so there's like a really interesting layers, even if he has a small role, and I think he does it really beautifully. And it also allows the people around him to shine, which not everyone does, but he's that kind of sensitive person. And then Erica is another legend, and you know, a lot of us have seen her a lot in comedy, but she really started as someone that was street casted, and so she was a really special person to bring on this, because we have so many people that were casted on the streets, and she would spend a lot of time with them, just hanging out with them, and they would both teach each other different things. Like, Erica would teach them about kind of how to be on set and how to walk away from set, and they would teach her about kind of just being intuitive in the moment from the bay, you know, in different ways. And so it was really beautiful to see Erica kind of thrive in this space, in this new way, with all these new faces and new people. And then we also have Sharon Duncan Brewster, who I know in the UK, she's done so much. And I just saw her in the National Theater, and she's, I don't know if it's over now, but it was just an incredible play. And she has a completely different approach to both of them, in the world of cinema, where she's like really trying to get to know the ins and outs of every little part of her character, which I love. And so we got like the comedian Erica. we got all these different personalities on set. Like, Erica's just trying to laugh between takes, where Sharon's trying to really get in the mindset. Bokeem's kind of in between supporting all the women. And it was really great to have them all, you know. I'm really grateful for the, for how much they gave to this film.
Yeah, as a Brit, I'm often like, every time I see another British actor or something, I'm like, that's da-da-da, you know. And so I was really excited. I wasn't, you know, it's not like I shouldn't be expecting it, but it's just really nice to see her do another role.
Yeah.
Showing a different side. Very soft, very motherly, very nurturing. And I was just like, I wanted to be
mother. Yeah, she's...
So I thought that was really...
She's really nurturing as a mother, and she's just, but you also feel her carrying a lot, like, of tension within herself, you know? And I think she's amazing. Sharon's really a really talented actor as well. I really enjoyed all three of them. They've brought so much to the film in their own ways.
Yeah, definitely. You also had the sensational Dochi playing G's best friend Trina.
Yeah.
How did her
Dochi's, come about? Yeah, Dochi's amazing. She's, you know, obviously we know her as like a singer, rapper, artist. And she, we were just looking everywhere for our Trina. That was probably one of the harder people to cast because I just didn't want it to feel fake. Like they needed to really be that friend. Mm-hmm. That is also kind of, yeah, preaching at you. That is also doing the wildest shit. You know, she needed to be all, and is hilarious, but also problematic.
Yes.
I needed that person to be through and through that person. And I felt like there's a lot of people playing that role, but they weren't that person. Like, I didn't feel it in their soul. Whereas when Dochi came, you know, she's not exactly that person, but she is that sort of friend that likes to have fun. And, you know, she really, her comedic timing is unreal. You know, I think she needs to be in a full-time comedy film, you know.
I thought she was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. For a minute there, I'd even forgotten Dochi. I was like, wait a minute.
But that's also great because she, you know, she's this big artist, but she's also willing to like strip down and not wear any makeup and come to set kind of barefaced and ready to go and kind of show another side to her. And that was really like something that is hard for a lot of musicians and artists. And she was not afraid of it at all.
Yeah, because they're usually seen as well-polished.
Yeah.
You know, the perfect image thing, and to kind of start fresh in a new arena was really impressive, and I think she killed it.
I know. I can't wait to see what she does next as well, because she's, you know, she could hold a whole film as a lead role if she wanted to.
Absolutely. The music was perfect and haunting and warm all at the same time. How did you go about creating that music, or picking the music for the film?
Yeah, well, it was really a mixture between kind of Bay Area songs that were not hugely known, which was exciting to us, as I had been kind of making a playlist of a lot of Bay tunes with kind of some oldish songs, which we worked with our music supervisor Sunny on, and it was kind of, so that was a big side of the music. And the other side of the music was Kelsey Liu, who a lot of us love and follow, did the score of the film, which is a mixture of kind of cello and piano and harp and even pieces of drums that feel like a heartbeat. And she really was like so intuitive with the whole score, and included so many amazing musicians in that, in her composition. So it was really a tapestry of all these kind of different types of music in a way that was held together with the score, really.
It was very perfect. The score was stunning. My favorite line of the film comes at the end, from one of the mothers. I want to protect them like they need to be protected, but nobody was here to protect me. Oh God, that I felt that. Yeah. poignant and hard-hitting and just emotional. Do you have any favorite lines from the film?
To be honest, that's my favorite line too.
Wow.
Yeah, I think every time I hear that, it like it makes me tear up.
I was crying like a baby.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's so honest. It's also so, you don't have to be a mother that's been through this circumstance to feel like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So many mothers are trying to, or not just mothers, parents are trying to figure out how to parent. They don't know what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing, and they're trying to figure it out. And they're dealing with the trauma of their parents, and they're trying to break away from that, trying to do better for their children. And so that for me felt so profound. She says it so simply, but so elegantly, and I couldn't have written that. Like, she said that how she wanted to say it. And I think, I don't know, every time literally I hear that, those lines, those words, it's about that. Like, parenting is about protection and like taking care and love and fear as well, you know? And those words have all of that. And I don't know what to say. That's my favorite lines.
it was just amazing, and I had to rewind it like a few times just to be like, oh my god, like that was really, I felt that, and I just, yeah, while I was crying just on loop, which was a sight to see. But also, you are an Olympian, which we haven't spoken about.
Yeah,
world, how have we not? So how did you find the transition from Olympian to writer, director, and getting into this side of the creative world?
Yeah, I think I've never, I mean, the transition, it's weird because like it feels like I've lived another life entirely. but I do see how
you were in London.
I was in the London Olympics, and it feels like, you know, it's sometimes weird to think back on that was me. But it also makes total sense with how I like to run a set and how I learned to direct this through kind of figuring out how to work with all these different personalities and these people and these different skill sets on a team, and how to be intuitive in the moment. And go with something in your gut. Like, sometimes your body responds, actually all the time, because I was playing volleyball, which is a very fast twitch, muscle moving game. And all the time your body is moving faster than your mind can. You know, that's how quick your intuition is. It's just like something in yourself is responding. And I think that's what's happening in film. And so I, you know, when you're on set, that's how actors are in the moment. And when they're in the moment, that's what's happening, you know? And, I try to, you know, create a set where that can happen. There's, the transition was difficult. It wasn't easy, but there's ways to kind of learn something in one career and take it into the next career you do. And I honestly think everyone should feel encouraged to, not feel limited by the first job you know do or whatever it is, because that
I think that's awesome. I think very inspiring, honestly, and especially that you're killing it. You seem to have like a real style to your filmmaking, whether it's music videos or film. I could see some sort of like consistency of your style. Do you have a name for it yet, or are you going to leave that to us?
Yeah, I don't know what the name is, but I would love someone to come up with a name for it.
Definitely. I'll think of a few things and I'll just ping them across to you, because it's really beautiful. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm thinking about that. So, no, of course. What's next for you? Have you got any other projects that you're working on at the moment?
What's next? I mean, I'm just writing at the moment. I'm writing with you know, writing nonstop, and I'm just waiting for that next draft of the script where I feel confident enough to share it with a couple people. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Cool. Lovely to. Well, can't wait to see more. But I'm looking forward to the release of Earth Mama on the 8th of December. Yeah. Do we have time for a quick fire round? So have you got a favorite dramatic male actor?
Oh, a favorite?
Or female?
Oh, shit. You know, I'm just going to say it now because I just saw Anatomy of a Fall. I thought Sandra, and that was amazing. I don't know. It changes all the time, my favorite actors, but I'll say that now because
it's hard for me. It's hard for me, so I don't know why I'm asking you that. That is out of order. Do you have a favorite director?
Oh, also another hard one, but I'm going to say, right now I'm going to say Edward Yang, but that's probably going to change, but right now I'm really impacted by Edward Yang's work.
What about favorite writer?
Oh, favorite writer. Wow. I think just because I've been reading some of his plays recently, mm-hmm. and they've really impacted me. I think I'm saying this right, Shukov.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it. Just a quick fire round just to get to know you a little bit better. If you had to direct people to YouTube to see a clip of Earth Mama, what clip would it be and why?
What clip? I think I would direct them to the scene with where we get to meet her children for the first time. It's just one long.
That would be my scene.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of my favorite scenes just because it's like you get to, all these different moments are revealed in that scene. You get to learn about her as a mother, what she's struggling with and what she's losing. And it's all these different things. It's heartfelt in the beginning, and it's painful by the end.
And like with her daughter ignoring her and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, so, there's so many different waves of emotion in that scene. So yeah, that's it.
I'll definitely need to direct them to that scene as well. Well, thank you so much, Savannah Leaf,
for sharing
your time with us. The film releases on the 8th of December. Guys, please go and watch it because it's an amazing watch. But I just want to say thank you again for sharing your time. It's been amazing chatting to you
and hearing
your
thank you so much.
The writer, director.
All right. Well, have a good day. And thank you so much for your questions. That was amazing.